Father, we truly do thank you for being in our midst. We thank you, Jesus, for walking to and fro. We thank you, angelic hosts, for the deliverance. We thank you, Father, that you are more than enough. We thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you, Father God, for the river that's flowing so freely here tonight. And all we have to do, had to do, was step into it. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you. I am believing with every fiber of my being that God has touched this group of people and that you are ready to go forth and do the mighty works that God's called you forth to do. You fought your battles and you fought them well. And now God's ready to use you. I had to give this message tonight because it's for you people, you young people, for us older people. It's a message from our Father. He says, all out war. That's a statement. All out war. And my children are running at top speed toward the enemy. See that? The clash of good and evil will resound all across the land. You have seen nothing yet. As President Donald J. Trump takes his rightful seat in the Oval Office, the throes of hell will erupt in ways never before seen. My children need to fast and pray nonstop for the destruction of the enemy nations. This is not a feat that cannot be accomplished. I would never ask my children to undertake anything that does not come out victorious. Let's read that again, Brett. My children need to fast and pray nonstop for the destruction of the enemy nations. In other words, we need to fast and pray for the devil to be destroyed, all right, the darkness. This is not a feat that cannot be accomplished. I would never ask my children to undertake anything that does not come out victorious. Then God said, victory is your meat. True, nation shall rise against nation. World War III is before your faces. Be prepared for the all-out warfare where you will face the giants in the land. As David of old, you should take up the sword and slay the giants one by one. Never for one instance look at the warfare as too great. I hear so many people, I just can't defeat this enemy. Yes, you can. Look at it like David did. Your father is fighting this battle for you, and there is nothing your father cannot accomplish. So let's read 1 Samuel 17. Starting at verse 41. This is all about David going out to fight Goliath, all right? I want you young kids to listen to this. The Philistine started walking toward David with his shield bearer walking in front of him. He kept coming closer. And when he got a good look at David, he was filled with scorn for him because he was just a nice, good-looking boy. You get that. He said to David, what's that stick for? Do you think I'm a dog? And he called down curses from his God on David. Come on, he challenged David, and I will give your body to the birds and animals to eat. David answered, you are coming against me with sword, spear, and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the Israelite armies, which you have defied. This very day the Lord will put you in my power. I will defeat you and cut off your head. and I will give the bodies of the Philistine soldiers to the birds and animals to eat. Then the whole world will know that Israel has a God. And everyone here will see that the Lord does not need swords or spears to save his people. He is victorious in battle, and he will put all of you in our power. Remember, God said, victory is your meat. Goliath started walking toward David again, and David ran quickly toward the Philistine. And what did God start out with? He said, all out war, my children are running at top speed toward the enemy. All right. Goliath started walking toward David again, and David ran quickly toward the Philistine battle line to fight him. He reached into his bag and took out a stone, which he slung at Goliath. It hit him on the forehead and broke his skull. And Goliath fell face downward on the ground. And so without a sword, David defeated and killed Goliath with a sling and a stone. I feel with all my heart that the fasting and praying is our stone. And that's how we're going to defeat the enemy, because God said to do that. All right. He ran to him, stood over him. David ran to Goliath, stood over him, took Goliath's sword out of his sheath, and cut off his head and killed him. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they ran away. The men of Israel and Judah shouted and ran. And ran after them, pursuing them all the way to Gath and to the gates of Ekron. The Philistines fell wounded all along the road that leads to Sherem, as far as Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites came back from pursuing the Philistines, they looted their camp. David got Goliath's head and took it to Jerusalem, but he kept Goliath's weapons in his own tent. Now, in this story, all the men of war, the older seasoned men, had lost their faith in their God and were afraid of the giant. But God brought forth a young person with faith in their God to destroy the enemy's camp. Others followed and defeated the enemy and the leader. This is what's happened in the church. The older generation has lost their faith. They've taken their eyes off of God. So God is now raising up the younger generation to defeat the Goliaths in the land. You younger generation, you are going to have a time of your life destroying the giants. The older generation cannot do what you are going to do. You need to understand that God pulled you out of the miry clay. He brought you into his house. I don't care where, what house it is. He brought you into his house. And he worked with you, and he set you free. So now that you can go forth and free others. The older generation won't do it. They're sitting back, just doing nothing. This is why America is in the place it's at, because the older generation did not do what they were supposed to do. Now I'm hearing God say, are you up for the battle? Are you up for the warfare that lies before you? Are you another David? And God has been using David as an example for quite some time now. And if I was you, I would study David and see how David never lost faith in his God. David ran and hid from the giant, from the giants. Didn't he? He hid from the enemy. One time he pretended like he was crazy, foaming at the mouth. You know, David did all those kind of things, but he never lost faith in his God. He knew his God was able. But I'm hearing God said, but you are not going to retreat like David did. You're going to stay in the forefront. You're going to be right on the front lines, and you're going to destroy the enemy's camp. All right? Look at this through God's eyes. What seasoned men could not do, the younger generation did. I would have been ashamed if I was them men standing around there and watched some little 16-year-old kid walk up there and destroy a giant that I was afraid of. But David was on the backside of the desert for all those years being a shepherd boy, learning who his God really was. And he knew what his God could do. And he just walked in pure faith. All right? Then God says, there is something you need to learn today. I am not only a God of love, long-suffering, and grace. You also serve a God of war. In Exodus 15, 3 and 18 says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Then God said, I am mighty in battle. In Psalms 24, 8, 9, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And Romans 8, 31 says, God talks about God's everlasting love. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God wants to give us all things to fight this battle. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We need to know this scripture and have it in our heart. It is real. And we need to walk this out. If God has called you, then nothing can separate you from God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. It doesn't matter how hard the enemy fights you. God is in your corner, and God is making sure that you see it through. Now, you younger people, I was just saying earlier that I've been trying ever since we started church to get a youth group started, you know, where the youth can come in and really serve God. I think we've been having the church 40 years. Isn't that something? That took 40 years for God to bring a youth group in here that's going to destroy the giants in the land. Isn't that awesome? 40-year cycle. But we never gave up. We always believed that God was going to do exactly what he's going to do. We always believed that he was sitting on his throne and Satan can't knock him off. You know, when the people, I don't care if you're young or old, when you get up here and you start really praising the Father, stomping your feet and yelling and screaming and letting the devil know that he's defeated, then God is in control. All right. Then God said, I know the beginning and the ending of all things. I am the commander in chief of this army of mighty warriors. He's talking about you young guys. Joshua 5:14, I am the commander in chief of the Lord's army. He replied, Joshua fell to the ground before him and worshiped him and said, give me your commands. All right, now, I didn't read the scripture before, but somebody came and stood before God, I mean, before Joshua, and Joshua asked who he was. And this was his reply, I am the commander-in-chief of the Lord's army, he replied. Joshua fell to the ground before him and worshipped him and said, give me your commands. What did Joshua do? Fell to the ground and worshipped this person. Now, Notice the person did not rebuke Joshua when he bowed to the ground. Scholars say that because he was not rebuked, it was God himself talking to Joshua. And everywhere in the Word where you read where angels come to people and they bow down to them, they tell them immediately, get up, don't do that. But here was God himself, the commander-in-chief of the armies, came to Joshua and called Joshua forth. God wants to do the very same thing for you here tonight. He wants to be the commander-in-chief of the army that he's raising up. And he wants you to ask him, what do you want me to do? Instead of sitting around allowing the enemy to tell you what's going to happen, quit believing the voice of the liar and start believing the voice of the Father. And Joshua 46:10 says, I declare the end from the beginning and ancient times from what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and all my good pleasure I will accomplish. Because God said, I wrote that down because God said, I know the beginning and the ending of all things. I am the commander-in-chief of this army of mighty warriors. And then here in Isaiah, he says, I declare the end from the beginning. God knows all things. When the young lady was standing up here and and things were going on, and I saw that it needed a climax, I said, Jesus, pass by her. Stand in front of her. Set her free. See, we need to start realizing who really is the commander-in-chief. And we need to start calling upon Jesus to set the people free. Jesus just walked the streets and demons yelled out, what do you want to do with us? Do we have that kind of power? Do we have that power that when we stand before somebody that has demons, that they'll yell and scream and they want to come out of that person? We do. But do we use it? Do we use it? Or are we too busy feeling sorry for ourselves and all the other dumb stuff that we do? I don't know about you, but when I look around the church, I don't see heaven in the church. I see sin after sin after sin. Compromise. I hear God's word saying compromise. We are not truly the house of God the way we are supposed to be. We need to get out of this stupid sin nature, and we need to really be free to worship the Father any place, any time. And we need to have the understanding of the Word and understand that Jesus is truly the commander-in-chief and call upon Him and let Him do what only He can do. Omniscient, I can't say these words, but God is omniscient, meaning He has perfect knowledge of all things. He knows everything that has happened and everything that will happen. He is not restricted by time and lives in eternity. He is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He knows the beginning from the end. He always sees the big picture, and His perspective is complete and perfect. He sees the big picture. You and I only see in part, but God knows everything. And so this is why we need to learn to really know Jesus and really learn how He operates so that we can ask Him and He can show us the big picture instead of one little piece of the puzzle. So this is why we're not winning the battles. I'm just hearing this, so I'm saying it. This is why we're not winning the battles, because we're content with one piece of the puzzle when He wants to complete the puzzle so that we know how to walk and maneuver in a path that He has us in. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the great I Am. God said, I will lead this army of warriors at all times. They will converge in the war room, be versed on the plans for the day, and proceed forward in total victory. See what you're supposed to be doing? I will lead this army of warriors at all times. They will converge in the war room, be versed on the plans for the day, and proceed forward in total victory. There is absolutely nothing that can stop this end time army. They have been brought forth for such a time as this. In their lifetime, they have come face to face many times with the enemy, but always lost the battles. Before you were saved, you always lost the battles, is what God just said. But now they are aware of his evil schemes. They are ready to do payback time. They know the power and authority I have given them. They know that the enemy is the father of all lies, and now they want to walk in the truth. And God is saying, come forth, mighty warriors, and devour the enemy at every turn. All right, so I don't care how old you are. You spent all your life up until now doing whatever, and now all of a sudden God says, change. Now is your time. Now is the time that God wants to pull you forth and to use you mightily. When I was 50 is when I was born again, and I said, God, I wasted 50 years. He said, no, you were in training for 50 years. Now is the time that I'm pulling you forth. Now is a season that I have allotted for you. So you weren't wasting any of those years. You were just learning how God operates. You were learning how, when you're bound, how God comes and sets you free. You was learning how not to act in the body of Christ. You were learning to become more like Jesus. The body, you know, there's people in the body of Christ say they're saved, and they cuss like a sailor. That's not godly. And what kind of witness are you? See, there's so many things that are wrong in the body of Christ. But I cry out to God today, let the lighthouse be a difference. I really do. Let the lighthouse be a difference to this area. Let us be a true light for the world to see that that we are different, that we are peculiar, and that there is a way to really walk with the Father. I'm so sick and tired of fake religion. But I do know one thing. I know that God has called you people forth. This is your season, and this is your hour. It's nothing. Well, there is something I've been doing, because I've been praying for 50 years for God to move upon the young people. You know, everybody puts the young people down, but why are they where they're at? It's because the older generation wasn't doing what they should be doing, and they allowed the darkness to come into the land, and they allowed the darkness to devour the children. You know, the Bible says, train a child up in the ways he should go, and he'll never depart from it. Well, I trained all my family in the ways that they should go, and they have departed from it. But God said, I'll bring them back. They know God, and they know of his ways. And I think this happens in most pastors' families. Their kids are worse than anybody's kids. Why is that? Because the enemy wants to discourage the pastors. He wants to discourage the leaders. In fact, I've told this story before, but one time Jimmy was saying, why am I going through all of this? Because he was going through a terrible time. And God spoke to me and said, it's because you're preaching the word. And I told Jimmy, I said, you're going through this because I'm preaching the word. And God had told me the enemy's trying to make me stop. And Jimmy said, I'll go through whatever I have to go through. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop preaching the word. And God didn't like to watch his son suffer, did he? And the closer you get to God, the harder he's going to fight your children. The deeper you get into his presence and understand his ways, the harder he's going to fight your children. So the one thing that we as parents cannot do is cast our children aside. We must be there for them. We must love them through the darkness that they're going through because of you. Now, if you are going to church and not really serving God, your children could be fought, but it's because you're not serving God the way you ought. And that sin is going in down to generations, right? And going into your children. Now your children are suffering because you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So this works in so many different ways. But if we can get it right, and I think we're getting it right, if we can get it right, we are going to make a difference. God told me when we first started, he wanted to use a lighthouse to win Lower Delaware, right, and the Delmarva and Peninsula area. And this is why we've been fought so hard, because God wants to use the lighthouse as a springboard for his glory to cover the earth. Are you really a true warrior where you can stand whatever the onslaught that enemy is throwing your way? I want you to think about that. Can you really stand what the enemy is throwing your way? Or are you buckling under the enemy's power and authority that he doesn't have unless you give it to him? This is a different kind of decision time. This is a time where God wants you to make a decision. I want to destroy that evil thing, get him clear out of my life. I want to get him away from my family. I want to get him away from my friends. I just want to destroy his power over everything. God's calling you forth as mighty warriors. He really is. And you can have that power and authority everywhere you go. I'm telling you, people, I've walked this out. You can have so much anointing on you just walking into a room, into a grocery store. You can change the atmosphere. And people will really and truly start run to you, and they'll ask you to forgive. They'll say anything to you. But my mother said, why do people do that to you? And I said, they're not drawn to me. They're drawn to the Jesus in me. And it's the anointing, it's the glory. And they just react to that, and they get saved. We need that in the body of Christ. We've had enough fake religion. We've had enough of this false stuff that goes around. I don't know if you can feel it or not, but the anointing in this room is so strong that when you first come in, it hits you as soon as you come through the door. And you might be talking and laughing, but you know that there's something different about you. Something heavy has hit you. And Brother Allen said he saw the glory in here this morning. It started up here and went all through the room, went out the door. And I got excited because that means the glory is going out into the public, and it's the glory that's going to draw the people in. When we first opened down here, people actually said they saw fire on the roof, and they came in to see what was going on. So God has put his glory now out there on the street. Are you ready to minister to the young people when they come in? You know what? Okay, so we just say six young people came through the door. And during praise and worship, they came up to the altar and they were crying. Are you ready to just walk over them and start ministering to them? And let the anointing that's in you flow into them. This is where you're at. This is where you're at. Are you ready? Are you truly ready? You know, we have the young people, we have the middle-aged people, and we have the older people. God needs us all. We all contribute to the body of Christ. Whatever giftings you have, God wants to use. And you young people, you need direction. I was just saying, God had me look at something David, what's his name, Fertrick, said. He said when he first started his church, he got his staff together, and he always asked them, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? And everybody was giving their advice, and one young lady there said, Pastor, God put you here to lead us. Please lead. And what she is saying, don't ask us our opinion. God's speaking to you. You lead us. You don't need us to feed into your ministry. You feed us. And that's what happens. All right, so you're the youth group. You don't let anybody come in and tell you how to run what God has told you to run. You be the leader. Somebody has to lead. Why not you? Somebody has to lead. You older people, why not you? Somebody has to talk to the young people and show them that if they're doing something wrong or if they're doing something right, to encourage them. Why not you? Instead of standing back doing nothing, you're part of the army. We need to undergird these people. Years ago, somebody left the church because they said, you're gearing up for the younger generation. I said, no, I'm not. I didn't realize what God was doing, but they did. And they said, we don't want to be here if you're going to do that. So they left. Well, that was all right, because I wasn't gearing up for nothing. You know, I live in my own little bubble. Do you live in your own little bubble? You know, you just go along. You think everything's just fine. You know, you can even hurt somebody's feelings and not even realize you even do it. You just keep, just walk on like you're, you know, some dance or something. And I said to Teresa today, I said something to somebody, and I said, well, I just walk in my own little bubble. It doesn't bother me. I don't mean I was rude, but I'll just give you an answer, and I'll just walk on. Why do we sit there and just keep fussing about one thing? Say it and get on. And I'm like that. Say it and get over it and go on. This is what Jesus did. He said it and he went on, right? How many of you, I see Jesus in a boat. How many of you want to get into that boat with Jesus tonight, where you'll be in your own personal bubble with God and you want to get your orders from him? God wants you up here if you want to get in that boat with him. And I see him. He said, I'm on the Sea of Galilee, but I'm inviting you into my boat tonight. My boat of authority, my boat of power.